Columbia Workshop brings to its audience a type of script never before presented in the 4 years of weekly broadcasts. Our script tonight is pure slapstick and pure nonsense. Its story idea is held together more by the chronological sequence of its events than by anything that could be dignified by such terms as plot or story structure. The author is new to the Columbia Workshop. His name is Louis Esty, and he lives in Tujunga, California. The Columbia Workshop presents now an original radio play called No Complications, being the story of the trials and confusions of Paul Bunnell. Paul Bunnell was a pretty sick man, so sick that every time he clamped his weak lips over a thermometer, the mercury zipped smoother to 104 and stuck there. Three indistinct shapes swam in and out of his vision. He knew them for his doctor, the nurse, and Eleanor, his pretty blue-eyed fiancée. He hated being sick this way, but most of all, he hated that awful medicine he was forced to swallow. It was all pretty bad.
Now, if you think you can manage to sit up a bit, Mr. Bunnell.
Oh, doctor.
And drink this.
You're such a baby, Paul. Don't you want to get well? Don't you want to get rid of that awful fever?
Oh, Eleanor.
But it's really a different medicine, Mr. Bunnell. It's not bad to take at all, is it, doctor?
Oh, nurse.
Not bad. Why, it's great. A new treatment. My own formula. Great success with it. Splendid. Just sit up a bit straighter. There we are.
Oh, dear. Let's have it.
Now, that wasn't so terrible, was it, dear?
Terrible? Why, it was fine, fine. That'll whip him into shape. Nurse.
Yes, doctor?
Take his temperature again in a few minutes. Watch his pulse. And don't leave his side unless it's to call me, understand?
Yes, doctor.
Another thing, if he gets...
I understand, doctor.
The reaction is sharp, quick, so watch him closely. And now I'd like to have a word with the patient's fiancée. We'll be in the outer room. Call me when...
I understand, doctor.
Excellent. And now, miss?
Nurse.
Yes, Mr. Bunnell?
What did he mean about the reaction being quick?
Shh. You're to be very quiet, Mr. Bunnell.
Quiet? But I don't feel like being quiet. I feel sort of fuzzy. Like a Turkish rug. What you holding my wrist and counting about? It's a game, huh? You're playing a game and you gotta let me in on it. Look, 34, 35, 38, 30, 11. If you knew how silly you looked. Wanna hear me sing? I don't wanna get well because I'm in love with the beautiful nurse. Say, my gosh, you are beautiful. Did you hear that, nurse?
Hear what, Mr. Bunnell?
That ping. Something rang out. Something seemed to snap in my head. Well, I feel fine, fine.
Do you, Mr. Bunnell?
Do I? Say, that medicine, that new formula, the doctor's, it sure does the work right now, eh?
Poor boy. Poor boy. That's always the first reaction. The second. Oh, well.
What do you mean, the second? The doctor said...
The doctor?
Huh?
Poor, trusting boy. Why, that man's no more a doctor than you are. Never studied medicine in his whole life.
I beg pardon?
Never was a doctor, never will be. Tell me, Mr. Bunnell, do you carry rather a large life insurance?
Yeah, $100,000. Why?
Uh-huh.
But look here, nurse.
Played out in favor of that pretty little thing, your fiancé?
In favor of Eleanor, yeah, but...
Poor. Mr. Bunnell. Poor, dear Mr. Bunnell. You have exactly 26 minutes.
26 minutes?
To live.
What?
That last medicine, the oh-so-new formula our so-called practitioner gave you...
Yes?
...was poison.
Poison?
An insidious, powerful poison.
Oh, really?
The first reaction, as you've just experienced, is one of physical and mental well-being. The second...
Yes?
Dissolution.
Oh, she's gone crazy. Oh, Doctor Eleanor!
No use. They've gone.
Gone? Gone?
Of course. Do you suppose for an instant they're in the next room discussing your ills? Look, suppose you slip into your bathrobe and we'll take a peek.
Oh, you're darn right I will. No, don't come near me. I mean, I can get into the robe by myself. You just stand over there.
As you wish. And now, shall we look into the next room?
Look, let me go first. You, sort of keep behind me, huh?
Very well.
Doctor! Doctor, save me! Help! Grab her! She's gone crazy, Doctor! Crazy as a...
Well, there's nobody here.
Naturally.
But there's nobody in the room.
Did you really expect to find that good-looking man and your fiancé here?
But where would they go? What would they be doing?
Celebrating. There's your life insurance, you know, and wouldn't you celebrate if you were to suddenly come into $100,000?
For the love of Mike, nurse, you might have given me time to get a few clothes on. Imagine dashing about town in a taxi with only a bathrobe on.
Time, Mr. Parnell, time, when you have but 16 minutes left of life? Ah, no, we must hurry to the schemer's office, for he alone has the antidote to the poison he gave you.
But he wouldn't give it to me. Why should he give it to me? And if he's not at his office...
We'll break in. I know where he keeps it. We'll find it, never fear.
You're sure? You're positive the antidote will take effect?
Positive, Mr. Bonnell.
Well, nurse, at the rate this cab's traveling, it won't be long. Wait a minute, what's the driver up to?
I do believe he's slowing down.
Slowing down? Why, he's going to stop.
Indeed he is.
Oh, but he can't. We haven't time.
Shh. He's saying something to that man on the curb, that frowsy-looking man in the muffler and the brown derby. See? The one with the thumb stuck over his shoulder? Shh. Listen.
No, not at all, but you're sure, driver.
I tell you, it's all right, but honest. Why, it's a favor to me to help an honest hitchhiker out.
You're very kind, driver.
Kind? Not at all. Why, it makes me feel warm and good all over. It makes me feel sort of
cozy.
Cozy, that's the word. So if you'll just
Thank you, driver, I will.
Why, not at all, bud.
Great guns, nurse. He's coming back here to get into the cab. Our cab.
Well, after all, isn't that his affair, Mr. Bonnell?
Huh?
Come, come, we mustn't be narrow, must we?
Hello, folks. Mind moving your legs? Look, miss, see the suitcase here? We'll just take it and shove it up there, back of your head.
Wait a minute, what's there?
That's it, Gary, that's it. Thanks. Move your legs a bit, sir.
Oh, just 1 minute, sir, just 1 minute.
Cronkite's the name, mister. Professor Cronkite.
How do you do? I mean, I don't care what the name is. I consider your presence in this cab an imposition, an unwarranted intrusion.
Indeed. How long have you been in this cab?
That has nothing to do with it.
Do you own it?
No, of course I don't own it.
Well?
Professor Cronkite's right, Mr. Bonnell. For after all, you really don't own the cab, do you?
Don't pay any attention to him, miss. I know the type. The minute I saw his face, I knew the type. Troublemaker. And how about that bag behind your head? Don't let it come open. It's full of things.
Things?
Bones and things. I'm professor of paleontology up at the State University. There are a few specimens I dug up. I wonder, if you have a cigar, sir?
Cigar? Cigar? No.
No cigar?
No.
Oh, I was just aching for one.
Really? Driver?
Yes.
Driver, stop at the tobacco shop right on the corner. Professor Cronkite wants a cigar.
Nurse.
Well, Mr. Bonnell?
Huh?
But of course you're going to jump out and get the professor his cigars.
Cigars? Me? Cigars for him?
The door is open, mister.
You mean you think I should get out of this cab?
The door is open, mister.
And buy that man cigars?
Don't belittle, Mr. Bonnell.
Oh, but look here, nurse. Let him buy his own cigars.
No, no. Temper.
Besides, all I've got on is a bathrobe.
Yes, I was admiring it, sir.
I didn't ask you. Furthermore, wait, what are you doing? All right, you don't have to push me out. All right, I say.
La Favorita is the brand, mister. What do you smoke, driver?
You can get me an owl, bud.
And you, miss?
Oh, any kind of little old 10-cent panatella's all right with me, Mr. Bonnell. There's a dear.
Oh, dear goodness. Clerk.
Yes, sir. Well, what can I do for you?
Oh, let me have a La Favorita, an owl, and any kind of a 10-cent panatella, please.
La Favorita, Now? And what kind of a panatella?
Oh, any kind, but please hurry.
A 10-cent panatella?
Yes, yes, it's for a lady.
Pardon me for butting in, Mac. But did you say it was for a lady?
Yes, yes.
Sell him one of them little Egypts, Gerald. They ain't bad at all.
Well, a little Egypt, hey, Mr. Doremus? Yeah, yeah, they got a nice bouquet. Just a thing. Here you are, sir. And that'll be 20 cents. Thank you. And call around again.
Say, Mac, you in the bathrobe.
You mean me?
Yes. Which way you heading in that cab out there?
Why, north of Fifth Avenue.
Well, that's swell. I'll go along with you.
You'll go?
Yeah. Hey, you, Gerald. Yeah, you behind the counter. Want to give me a hand with me bullfiddle?
Oh, glad to, Mr. Doremus.
Bullfiddle? Do you mean you're bringing that
thing? Take the small end, Gerald, and careful with the varnish. Careful. Do you mind moving out of the way, mister?
But look here, you're not going to try to get that bass fiddle into the cab, are you?
Listen, friend, where I go, this bullfiddle goes, see?
I guess we got to kind of hold it sideways to get it through the shop door, Mr. Doremus.
Yeah. Say, will you kindly get out of the way, Mac? Yeah, you in the bathrobe. If you can't be no help, that's it, Gerald. A little more. That's it.
Shall I rest it here against the side of the building, Mr. Doremus?
Yeah, okay. What are you going to do, lock up?
Yep. Things are kind of slow. Might just as well be agreeable and tag along.
You mean you're going to come too?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks a lot. Got your end of the fiddle, Mr. Doremus?
Let's go. Hey, you in the trick bathrobe. Don't just stand there staring at us. How do you expect me to get me instrument in the cab if you don't open the door?
My, how sulky you look, Mr. Bonnell. But if you'll simply insist upon inviting company into your cab...
Invite them? I invite them?
You must expect to be a bit cramped for room. And I think under the circumstances, you might do the honors.
The honors? Shucks. Doremus is the name, sister. Glad to meet up with you.
Gerald. Just call me Gerald, miss.
It was nice of Mr. Bonnell to ask you two gentlemen along. So why he's putting on such a face about
but
it?
But I didn't invite him.
I don't understand. I do think it was sweet of him, though. I really do.
Oh, what's the use?
Hey, take a look at Doremus, folks.
Doremus, Mr. Gerald?
Yeah, the bass fiddler, the guy who come with me. Look at him. Look at the expression that's coming over his face.
It does seem a bit peculiar, doesn't it?
Peculiar? Do you know what it means when his lower lip falls away down like that?
Why, no.
He's disturbed. Something here has upset him. Look at the brooding way he stares from you, miss, to his beloved fiddle. Oh, no. Don't make a sound.
Why, Mr. Gerald?
He's going to play. He's got to play. Do you understand? Tristy. That means something's hit him hard. There's a great turmoil, a very Niagara of feeling doing battle within him, miss.
Oh, how lovely.
Oh, but bad for him. He'll not be the same sweet man for days, for weeks, for months. I wonder if you'd do a kindly act. That fried egg thing, that bonnet on the top of your head.
My nurse's cap?
Do you suppose you could hide it someplace? It's that thing on your head that did it, I'm certain.
Really?
The women's bonnets are getting them down, miss. I guess he never saw one like that before. It's shaking him, miss. Shaking him like a terrier shakes a rat. You'll take it off, hide it. Oh, thank you, miss.
I want a bicarbonate.
Doremus always has to have a sedative after one of these emotional storms.
Poor sensitive lamb. He shall have one. Driver!
Oh, Scott, we're not going to stop again.
Of course, Mr. Bunnell. Stop at the corner drugstore, driver. Mr. Doremus wishes...
But
we haven't time to stop. Can't you realize that I'm dying? Dying by minutes, seconds.
Now, you mustn't get upset, Mr. Bunnell. Not in your condition. Ah, Here we are.
Pardon me. Would you mind passing me out me bull fiddle when I get outside?
What? Bull fiddle?
Where I go, me bull fiddle goes. Pass out the little end for you, sister. Careful, careful with the varnish. Careful. That does it, sister. Thanks. I'll be right back.
What a delightful man.
Delightful? What about me? Have you no feelings at all? What kind of a nurse are you anyway? Here I am, a sick man, a dying man, and you...
That's enough of that kind of talk.
You keep out of this, Professor Cronkite.
Keep out of it. Look here, sir. Do you think I'm going to stand quietly by and permit you to grossly insult the woman I love?
Why, Professor Cronkite.
Oh, nurse.
Amy. You may call me Amy.
Amy.
Professor Cronkite.
Wilfred, to you.
Wilfred.
Amy.
Sweet.
Hey, what is this anyway?
Silence.
Oh, look, nurse, are you going to moon about with this oaf while I'm practically in a state of rigor mortis?
Pooh.
Perhaps Mr. Bunnell is right, Professor. My first duty is to my patient, isn't it?
Well, it's about time you were thinking along those lines.
And Mr. Bunnell is a very sick man.
Who?
A very sick man. And so perhaps, under the circumstances...
Do you mean...
Yes.
Then I can dream, can't I?
Oh, Wilfred.
Oh, Amy.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, Bob.
Oh, Pooh.
And here comes that artistic Mr. Doremus with his bass fiddle.
Well, thank heavens, now we can get away from here. Oh, don't tell me, nurse, that he's bringing some people with him.
But he is, and how nice. An older lady and a gentleman.
Well, if he imagines for one minute he's going to invite them into this cab...
Shh. Do you want them to hear you, Mr. Bunnell?
I don't care whether they hear me or not. There's a limit to everything, and I've reached it, I tell you.
Well, here we are. Now, if somebody will just grab hold of the small end. Yeah, the small end. That's it. Easy. Easy. Do you want to scratch me varnish? Keep that small end up, bud. Now you got it. That's it. I bring a couple of friends along. The old lady here is a friend.
Woffington. Zadie Woffington. And this is my nephew.
Mr. Spiegel.
I say, this is jolly, what? In we go, nephew. What? Rather.
I say, rather.
All in, everybody.
Hey, all in.
Hope you realize, nurse, that we have just about 6 minutes left. 6 minutes!
Come. Do you want to spoil everybody's afternoon with that sullen attitude? Be a man, Mr. Bunnell.
Oh, righto.
Righto.
Whatever the beastly trouble is, chin up, old fellow. What? Pip-pip.
Who in heaven's name are you, anyway?
Lady Woffington, old thing. Oh, yes, yes, rather. And the chap over there with all the teeth is my nephew.
Mrs. Spiegel.
But why are you here? Why? Oh, I wish to heaven somebody would tell me why you're all here jamming into my cab. Where did you come from? Who are all you people anyway?
Oh, Pooh, I'm Professor Cronkite, and you know it.
Doremus is the name, Mac. Bullfiddle. Doremus, get it?
I sold you some cigars, remember me? Gerald.
Everybody knows of the Woffingtons, old child. Rather. And of course, my nephew, huddled in the corner, is
Mr. Spiegel. Doremus is my name, bud.
Pooh, Cronkite, Professor Cronkite.
Woffington, what? Pip-pip.
Mr. Spiegel. Doremus is my name, bud.
Pooh.
Cronkite. What? Pip-pip.
You're making a madhouse out of this cab. My cab.
Pip-pip.
Quiet, you. Quiet, all of you. Either behave like sane, normal people or get out. Or get out, do you hear?
But we'll all have to get out very soon, Mr. Bunnell.
What do you mean?
Our destination's only a dozen blocks away. We're practically there now.
Only a dozen? But that means I'm going to live. I'm going to live, nurse.
Isn't that lovely? Oh, and that reminds me, Professor Crook, Wilfred.
Yes, my gem?
My cap, my nurse's cap hidden there in the corner. Do pass it over to me.
A pleasure. And here you are, sweet. But what about Doremus?
Mr. Doremus?
We've seen what the ladies' hats do to him. How they shake him to his very foundations.
I'm afraid it's too late. It's an escape, I suppose. Oh, well. And now, Mr. Bunnell.
Well, Professor?
It just occurred to me that you've been whining and sniffing a lot about being ill. Then why are you gadding about in a taxicab?
I wish I knew.
A hypochondriac, eh? Or perhaps a malingerer. What do you think's the matter, sir?
20 minutes ago, Professor, I was in a hospital bed with the measles. But now...
Measles?
Measles.
They're not contagious, of course.
Oh, extremely.
Oh, bless my soul. You don't expect me to cultivate your acquaintance, do you? Look, will somebody hand me my bag? Thanks. Where's the door, anyway?
But, Professor, Wilfred!
Murray Hill 808-08-08, baby, my love! Murray Hill 808-08.
Pardon, old cup of tea, but did I hear you babbling something about measles?
I'm simply infested with them, Lady Washington.
But look here. Do you think it's spotting? Do you think it's cricket or even rugger to go bounding about with normal people when you have the jolly old spots? What?
I hadn't thought about it, Lady Washington.
Oh, how like a cad you are. How like a perfect rotter. Open the cab door, nephew.
I say, ah, rather. Oh,
what an unpleasant creature you are. Come, nephew. Bounder.
Say, if you don't mind, I think I'm getting out, too, if you don't mind.
Oh, splendid, Gerald. Perfectly splendid. Yes, Mr. Doremus?
Look, I got a sort of delicate organism.
I understand, Mr. Doremus, and you'd be very foolish to take any chances.
That's what I've been thinking. Look, if you'll just kindly pass me out...
A small end first, Mr.
Yeah,
Doremus.
Yeah, a small end. Easy, Mac. Easy on the varnish. A little more. That's it. Be seeing you. Be seeing you. Be seeing you, Mac.
Oh, thank heavens, that's the last of them. Now we can get to that fake doctor's office.
And the antidote.
We're here. This is it. Come on, Mr. Burnell.
All right, let's go.
This way, Mr. Burnell.
Okay.
Here's the office building now, through this door, the elevator. Yeah. Quick, in we go.
All right.
182nd floor, operator. Here we are, Mr. Bunnell.
Right.
182nd floor, this way, down this way.
I'm coming.
Wait, here's his office.
Where?
Here, right in front of us.
Oh, at last. And now for the antidote.
Locked.
Oh, great Scott, how much time have I left?
A minute and a half. Exactly 1 minute and a half.
90 seconds? The antidote. Oh, it's too late.
Listen.
Too late. Oh, dear.
Shh, listen. There's somebody in the office.
Oh, that laugh.
Eleanor, your fiancé.
That phony doctor, the poisoner. She's in there with him.
Listen.
And then Monte Carlo. The Riviera.
Egypt. The Nile.
Bombay. Borneo. Bolivia. And then...
The Bronx. What a honeymoon we'll have, Eleanor. Just you and I.
Oh, this is awful. Oh, nurse, I can't stand it.
Just you and I, and $100,000.
Oh, did you hear that, nurse? My insurance money.
Wait, what are you doing, Mr.?
I'm smashing in that door. Look out for the glass. Eleanor!
Oh, so it's you.
Who else? Oh, Eleanor, how could you?
And why not?
Oh, don't, Eleanor, don't.
Oh, so it's you, eh, Bunnell?
This is priceless.
Perfectly, perfectly priceless, eh, Snooks?
Why, you poisoner, you bourgeois!
Look out, Mr. Bunnell! He's got a gun!
Make one move through that door, Bunnell, and I'll blow you higher than the pyramids.
The pyramids?
The pyramids. Am I right, Bunnell, in assuming that you came to my office for this?
The antidote.
The antidote. Correct. Alive, my friend, you present certain complications. Dead, none at all.
You've only 30 seconds left. Poor Mr. Bunnell.
Only 30 seconds?
There will be no complications. I shall remove the cork from the bottle.
No complications?
None.
Well, if you don't mind, you're tipping that bottle, you know.
Really? Portugal, you'll love it in the fall, Eleanor.
Hey... Careful with that antidote. Careful.
Tibet. The South Sea.
Oh, great Scott, man. You're spilling it.
Patagonia, Eleanor Snook. And
no complications.
Oh, you're spilling it.
Young lady, Mr. Bunnell will awaken any minute now.
I do hope so, Doctor.
Oh, God. Not a drop.
Oh, darling, wake up. You must wake up.
Oh.
His eyes. Look, Doctor, they're opening.
Where?
Darling, look at me.
Oh, hello, Eleanor. What's the matter? How is Mr. Bunnell's pulse and temperature, nurse?
Both normal, Doctor.
Splendid. Splendid. Don't forget to mark that down. Oh, yes. You might also mark on Mr. Bunnell's chart.
Yes, Doctor?
No complications.
The Columbia Workshop has just brought you an original radio play by Louis Estey called No Complications. This was Mr. Estey's first contribution to the workshop. Tonight's performance was under the direction of Earl McGill. In tonight's performance, the part of Paul Bunnell was played by Philip Trent. Amy the Nurse by Francis Cheney. Eleanor, Mary Wicks. The Doctor, Kenneth Daniel. Professor Cronkite, Mark Smith. Doremus, Harold J. Stone. Gerald, Emerson Tracy. Lady Woffington, Jane Houston. Mr. Speaker, Burford Hampton. And the taxi driver, Harry Belliver. Incidental music was composed and played by Charles Paul. Next week, the Columbia Workshop presents another fantasy of Lucille Fletcher's titled The Man Who Envied Trains. Bulletin. It is reported authoritatively in Stockholm by United Press that the Allies today withdrew from the Narvik region of Norway, taking with them King Haakon and the Norwegian government. At the same time, it was reliably stated in Stockholm that Norwegian troops in the northern part of their country had signed an agreement with Germany to surrender. Norwegian and Swedish sources in Stockholm confirmed the report of the surrender of the Norwegian troops as their king left with the Allies. The agreement of surrender was said to have been signed by General Fleischer, commander of the Norwegian 6th Division. He was reported to have issued a proclamation to his troops ordering them to lay down their arms. It was said further that an agreement for ending the war in northern Norway had been in negotiation for some time and that the British had been notified before the surrender. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.